You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 30th, 2024, the final day of September. The month of October starts tomorrow. Hard to believe that October's tomorrow. Hard to believe that we're 5 weeks in to the college football season. And it really is hard to believe that Auburn is 2-3 in a five-game homestand as they get set to go on the road for the first time this season and take on the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to talk a lot about all of that today as Auburn drops a heartbreaker to the Sooners of Oklahoma on Saturday afternoon inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Lots to get to on the show today. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. You got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And I say happy Monday, but I know it's not. I know it's not for a lot of you Auburn fans, for all of you Auburn fans who just feel disappointed, who feel betrayed, who feel like you've been let down once again. And there's only so many words in the English dictionary, right? There's only so many negative ways to describe something or how you feel and a repetition feel, right? Something that you have felt over and over and over again. And here we are on yet another Monday after a game that Auburn was favored when they walked into the building after they had a 98% chance to win at one point in the football game. And yet we're talking about another loss here on the show. We're going to get to all of that and more here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And my goodness, unfortunately, Uncle T-Bone, we got to come in here and do it again. He is your favorite. He's wild. He's crazy. He is Uncle T-Bone. Happy Monday, sir. Other than that, I hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, happy Monday. No need to give any weather reports today. Give us a call, 334-321-1390 on the line, 334-784-1067 by text. Let's just jump right to it. A complete collapse in a extremely winnable game against a solid opponent in SEC play for Auburn on Saturday. And quite frankly, as a fan, for someone who speaks for the fans, for someone who's spoken to fans all weekend, including into the wee hours of last night, one of the most disappointing and heartbreaking losses in not just recent Auburn history, but in my lifetime. I can't describe enough what Auburn fans are feeling right now. It's almost a brokenness from everyone I speak to, that it's just we can't believe what's happening with our football program and what has happened, where we've been, where we've come to. We don't really know where we're going. Optimism is at an all-time low for many fans out there. I can't blame them. This team's not going to get over that 7.5 this season. Vegas set on us, probably not going to a bowl game. Who wants to go to one of these wretched little bowls anymore anyway? They didn't take the time to really focus on football last year, even with the Music City Bowl, so who cares? Okay? What happened Saturday inside Jordan-Hare Stadium when I watched with my own eyes, to me, was mind-blowing. It was just... I can't even describe how basically such a lack of football acumen by the offensive coaches at Auburn, including the head coach Hugh Freeze, and I can't call it ignorance because I know that they know better. You run the ball, and that game is over. It is finished, and you got a W, and we're moving forward with this season and the program. And I can't understand, and I won't buy any more of the political narrative on Monday by the press conference of Hugh Freeze. I don't trust them anymore. I don't trust this program, and I feel great about the players. There's talent over there, guys. They've recruited well. They had more talent on the field than Oklahoma. They blew it. They failed the players. And that's just a fact.
Well, they failed a lot more than the players, unfortunately. And, you know, you look at this game as a whole, right? You look at this game from start to finish, 27-21 final score, Oklahoma beats Auburn. Inside of Jern-Hare, the Sooners come to Auburn for the first time. They get their first ever SEC win. We will officially go down in Oklahoma football trivia for the rest of our time. In the next 20 years in bars all over Oklahoma, all over the Sooner State, who did Oklahoma get their first ever SEC victory over? You know who it's going to be? It's going to be your Auburn Tigers. It's going to be Hugh Freeze, and it's going to be Auburn. 2024 in the final weekend of September. And it's now a situation where Auburn is 2-3, 0-2 in conference play, and they head on the road to Athens this week, a team that was a really, really good football team and a couple of miracle plays away from beating Alabama in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night. Georgia's a heck of a team.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a really good team, and Auburn has to go up against that this weekend. More on that as we go. But the bottom line is, and we're going to get to the phone lines momentarily, so keep calling in 334-321-1390. Bottom line is this. Auburn fell flat, and Auburn did what Auburn has done for the past, I don't know, decade?
Yes.
Auburn did what Auburn does.
10 years of just beyond mediocrity because of the last five seasons.
And it's again, I run out of words. I come in here every day, Monday through Friday. Come in here and we talk about what Auburn could be, what Auburn could be, what Auburn could be. And yet, every time you think it's about to happen, every time that you think that Auburn's going to get over the hump, they're going to get by the narratives, they're going to do what they're supposed to do, what they're expected to do, what fans pay to see them do, and they don't do it. And they fall flat on their face, they embarrass themselves on national television again, and they have become the laughingstock of the SEC. They've continued the trend of being the laughingstock of the SEC. You know where Auburn is in everybody's power rankings this morning, this afternoon? They're at 15th with Mississippi State. They're on there with Mississippi State. Unbelievable.
I'm not sure on a neutral field if you played 10 games, Auburn would beat Mississippi State more than five right now. Laugh all you want, Auburn fans. There's plenty of talent over there. They're just being mishandled. And I got to wonder right now, especially on that defensive side of the ball, if those players are about had enough and how that locker room was Saturday night. Because I'm going to bet that it was pretty rough. But you know what it should be? It should be come to Jesus time. And all that, first of all, should be come to Jesus with the head coach. I mean, there are four different scenarios in this game offensively where if just one of those goes Auburn way in critical moments, and we'll lay those out as the show goes on, they win the game. And they were all on coaching. All of it.
Before we get to the phones, and we're about to get to Lonnie and then K-Bag, I'll start the show by saying this. The players played a good enough game to win. They played well enough. The game plan was good. The execution was good. The fans were good. Everything was good. There's one person to blame. One person. And he knows it. He knew it Saturday night. He knew it today on Monday. And I hope he knows it for a long, long time. Hugh Freeze is to blame. He lost this game for his team. He lost this game for the fans. He lost this game for Auburn. That's a tough pill to swallow. That's a tough spot to be, and I hate that he's there. But that's just a fact. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. They're lighting up like a Christmas tree over here. We'll start with Lonnie down in Lochipoca. You're on the line, my man.
Gentlemen, how are y'all doing today?
Doing okay for a Monday.
Well, I can't say that I'm too surprised. I think the team played really, really hard. But after the game and then a couple days after, I've gone on message boards and just read fans. Some of our fans really just hammered down on Thorne. Now, while he's got some share of the blame, not necessarily for this game, but some of the stuff in the past and the fact that he's a fifth-year senior, I thought it was the best game that he played all year. And going back to last year, it was the best game he played. He made one bad pass. He should not have been put in that situation. But Thorne played well enough to win, and so did the deep end.
Correct.
Peyton Thorne, 21 of 32, 338 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 critical interception. Never should have been in an RPO mode. Heck, that wasn't even RPO, Lonnie. They didn't even have a running back there with them, and they were 5 wide. That just signals to the defense that you're playing, that you're going to throw the ball. That is an RRO situation. Excuse me. Run option only.
That's right. Let me give you a quote that I read from Hugh Freeze. I think it may have come out today or yesterday. And this is in regards to that idiotic goal line play that would have been our first touchdown of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, "Truthfully, I regret not giving it to Jarquez down there at least once."
He said that today at his press conference.
Okay. So my question is, because I'm sitting there watching the game, I don't get paid millions of dollars. I'm watching the game, and as soon as they line up with Jackson at quarterback, I'm yelling, "What are we doing?" Why can't he see this in the middle of the game?
Lonnie, I'll tell you one thing.
I mean, he's playing Monday morning quarterback and getting paid millions of dollars to do so.
Lonnie,
I
said last week, if you're going to run some Wildcat, you need to mix Sam Jackson in. They run him out there in the – appreciate the call, Lonnie. We'll get – if you got something to say and the phones are open later, give us a call. We're going to have to get a lot of people. But I said, that's great. Here comes Sam Jackson. OU takes a timeout. I said this was the exact same scenario what Gus Malzahn used to do with John Franklin III against Georgia. Make them waste a timeout. But you come back –
You double down with him after, and
don't come back with another look. And then you run with him, maybe one of the most junior high type plays that I've ever seen at Auburn.
Like, but just, they practiced it all week, Uncle T-Bone. It's been working against the defense at Auburn.
Pounds. And he was a quarterback. Give him a throw option. Run a fake RPO, or just don't run some kind of 1947 run to the right. Zero creativity.
But that inexperienced.
But he should have never been
lineman.
Running the play to begin with.
No. The inexperienced offensive lineman missed the block. It worked all the time in practice. They just didn't execute it properly against Oklahoma. Don't blame the coaching staff.
When they ran him out there,
give me a break.
And made him waste the timeout, I thought it was genius. And then they come back with the exact same look, and I thought it was moronic. K-Bag, you're on the air.
Jacob, you started the show saying you didn't have the words, but I got one word for you.
Uh-oh.
Java.
Unfortunately.
Java.
I think it's deeper than that. I really do.
When you came to town, he and John Cohen made an effort to sit there and talk bad about Java. And saying, you know, we're going to turn this from just Auburn being Auburn into Auburn being Auburn. Well, however you want to phrase it, we in the old school land call it Jabba. You cannot lose situationally in the modern game of football. And we're losing situationally every single ball game.
It's this situational lack of awareness.
Thanks for the call.
Which I call K-Bag just basic football acumen. That people like me who've never coached a down but have watched so much football in their life and wasted too much time doing so know. And everybody else in the fan base that was inside the stadium looking around going, what are we doing? Why are we doing that? Why are we not running the ball? Why is Jarquez Hunter not getting the ball? Why are we throwing the ball? Jabba!
Let's get to our first break here in hour number one. Lots more to break down here. Lots more of our thoughts, I can tell you that. We're 15 minutes in, and we got a long way to go. 334-321-1390. Back after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
I want to give some more of our thoughts here as we continue on the Monday edition of On the Line. The text box is lighting up, but we're going to get to all of those as we go throughout the show. So hold on with us there. Hold on with us on the phone lines as well, 334-321-1390. You can imagine it is a crazy day so far and just so many feelings out there right now. And everybody is feeling the same way, right? Our GM, Steve Witten, said it best. He said, Auburn snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Again.
Not the other way around. No. Not the way Auburn has done historically at times and pulled crazy things out of the hat, right? No. Auburn legitimately snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. They tried and they succeeded at trying to lose the game. You had to, in the situation that Auburn was in on Saturday. And again, there's so much to get to. We'll break it down from start to finish as we go. But just initial reactions here, you really did have to try, Uncle T-Bone. You had to try to lose this game. There was one thing that could not happen in that situation. In that third down play, there was one thing in the entire sport of football that could get you beat. And you did it. You threw a pick six. You put your quarterback in a situation, I guess a strip sack or, you know, fumble recovery for a touchdown, same way, scoop and score, but same thing. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that could have beaten you in that very moment. And before that, where Auburn's up 21-10, they're inside of Oklahoma territory, and they take a couple bad plays after Jarquez Hunter rips off a big run. They throw the ball, and then they set up Towns Magoo, who had a bad day. Had a bad day, and he missed a 51-yarder. And he just...
He's not kicking well.
He didn't kick well at all. And both missed kicks, one from inside 30 and the other one 51 yards out. They looked the exact same. I don't know how he kicked it. I don't know how he hit it. But neither one of them were close. And not trying to drag
like
the
that
kid.
Coming off his foot at Auburn High.
No. And he was obviously struggling. And so there was a point on Saturday, and I said this earlier, and I'll repeat it all day. According to ESPN's FPI, during that game, you know they have the numbers and the metrics and they show you how much their win percentage is based off the current situation.
Right.
Do you want to know Auburn's highest percentage chance to win at one point in this football game? Ladies and gentlemen, it was 98%.
Golly.
98% chance to win the game when you had the football up by 11 in Oklahoma territory. And you blew it. You blew it. You didn't get beat. They didn't make a magical play.
Right.
You gave it to them.
That's right.
You allowed them to do it. You said, we don't want this victory. Here you go. And it was bad coaching. It was terrible coaching. Terrible decision making. One that I would expect from a JV coach.
And that's an insult to JV coaches.
And it is. Because I think JV coaches could have managed this game better. And I genuinely would love to be inside the brain of Hugh Freeze and the whole coaching staff, because I do think Freeze is to blame here, but he has dudes working for him as well. But I want to go in their head at that moment in both of those drives and say, man, what are you doing?
Did anybody today ask at the presser, and let's back it up, let's just back it up a hot minute to what I think is the most egregious moment of lack of football acumen by our offensive staff in the entire football game and possibly since any staff at Auburn offensively when Tank Bigsby ran out of bounds against Alabama in Harsin's first year. This is called situational awareness, Jacob. Auburn's defense does its job again, stops Oklahoma on a fourth down stop. Thank you, DJ Durkin, and your guys. Y'all are giving it everything you got, and we appreciate the effort from the fans. There's 11 minutes and 43 seconds left in the ballgame. Auburn is up by 11. Jarquez Hunter rips another one on Oklahoma for 22 yards to get the ball down to the Oklahoma 33-yard line. Auburn, instead of rushing to the line of scrimmage with the players you have, in the headset the head coach or whoever's calling the play say, Peyton, I want you to get in this formation. We're handing the ball off. A run option only. Do not let Oklahoma substitute. If they do substitute, beat them down there and hike the ball, get a free 5 yards.
Auburn missed that about five times on Saturday.
Wait till the play clock goes all the way down to 2 seconds. Snap the ball, hand it off. Do it again on second down. Do it again on third down. Even if you don't get a first down, and I would bet my last dollar, my last red cent, Jacob Goins had got a first down because Jarquez Hunter was feeling it, and he was slashing Oklahoma. They were done. It was over. And do that 3 times in a row. But even if you don't get the first down, I guarantee you run at least 2 minutes off the clock, probably 2.5. You're down to 8 minutes. You get Towns McGoo, who is struggling as a kicker right now, a little bit closer. Get him in the middle of the field. And then you try that field goal after you let that clock run down further again. At that point, if you get one first down there, maybe two, you are winner chicken dinner. And instead, you run down there, go into an RPO, and throw the ball on first down incomplete, and do it again on second down.
Yep.
Instead of making Oklahoma at the very worst, and I bet they would have taken a timeout, you gave them 2 free timeouts. I'm sorry. That is just unacceptable. That is basic football acumen. Grandmama sitting behind me in the stands was screaming, run the ball, buddy. That's just not going to work, man.
To make matters worse, just to take a sidestep here, just for a second, in case anybody's curious. Over in Atlanta, where the Braves are playing the New York Mets in a doubleheader this afternoon, for anybody that's up to date on the baseball standings, all the Braves have to do is win one game today. All they got to do is win one in a doubleheader with the Mets. They took a 3-0 lead into the eighth inning, and Jabba has since taken course. Not just Atlanta Auburn being Auburn.
Being Atlanta.
Just Atlanta being Atlanta. They have given up 6 runs in the eighth inning. They currently trail 6-3.
Folks, we can't have anything nice.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Black Monday here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. I don't think that we're being unfair.
Call and
tell me how what I just said in that scenario was no T-bone, because I heard a couple people on the message board say, you don't know ball, man. What are you talking about?
Say that to the 87,000 fans inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium Saturday that legitimately started a chant that said, run the ball.
Say that to the Oklahoma fan who I met several, and they were great, and they loved coming to Auburn, by the way. Say that to the Oklahoma fan sitting next to me who had spent a pile of money to get that ticket and get out here because he wanted to see what Auburn was all about, who had his head hanging down low after that Jarquez Hunter run of 22 yards. He knew it was over.
I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to say this too. I took my dad to the game this Saturday. First time I've been to a game as a non-media member. Well, part of the media, but just as a fan. First time in a long time. Wait, to tell you just how much Auburn had this in the bag, if the 98% number wasn't good enough, not only were Oklahoma fans hanging their head between their legs in depression, Uncle Tebow, we were in the visitor section. They were leaving. Oklahoma fans left the game. Not all, but quite a few of them. They got up and they walked out the front door because they had accepted defeat. Fans had accepted defeat on the road. They left the game. I thought it was a little questionable, but they did. And Auburn still found a way to lose. You didn't just find a way. You straight up lost. And there are people right now, and we're going to read text when we get back. There are people that say Auburn is a bunch of losers. Auburn doesn't know how to win. Auburn doesn't know how to win. That's a terrible spot to be in. That's a terrible spot to be in. And I just don't believe it, because the players played good enough to win. They played a game to win. And yet, here we are on another Monday, and Auburn's 2-3. We went 5 weeks ago from talking about Auburn being 5-0, going to Athens, and that's a beatable Georgia team. They're good, but they're beatable. Bama showed you that Saturday night. And now, instead of being 5-0, feeling really good heading to Athens this weekend, we're talking about if Auburn can salvage 5 wins.
I would have been feeling pretty good had we been 3-2. After what we've been through and what if we'd just gone ahead and taken care of business, I'd feel really good about it. I'd be like, okay, man, no matter what happens this weekend, we're going to a bye, but this season has changed for the better. 98%, you say? The only other time that Auburn's blown a game with a worse percentage at around 99.9%, 4th and 31. That's rare air. That's rare air, Tiger fans.
Auburn basketball Final Four. Put that up there, too. That's part of it.
Yeah, at least the ref screwed them on that and missed a double dribble.
That's true.
We just double dribbled ourselves into a L.
334-321-1390. More Auburn football talk after this. Still 6-3. Mets on top of the Braves in Atlanta. It's getting bad for the Bravos.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. More phone calls to get to, so let's do it right now. 334-321-1390. We start with Lynn. You're on the line, my man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Uncle T-Bone, I've never heard you that angry in all my years of listening, in all my time of listening to this program.
It's been building up all. It's been building up for a while. This goes back to me for years of just. I need to calm down. You're right, but I mean, this is outrageous. What I saw there Saturday in person, it was a meltdown.
Yeah, and quite rightly. I was reminded of your anger, and I know that these are different sports, but Taylor Twellman, after the U.S. soccer team lost, he lost it just as badly as you, and his recurring theme is, what are we doing?
Yep.
And I don't blame you. And it's unfortunate because you would think, to your point, if we had beaten Oklahoma, we would have went to Georgia. That's our next game.
Right.
And feeling completely elated. But I mean,
it's like we're going to our own execution now.
What are we doing?
Which seems to be the golden question right now for everybody. And that's what it was Saturday, right, Lynn? Was what in the world is happening? What did we just watch? Why?
And you had probably one of the best running backs in the country.
Yep.
And you couldn't get off the schneid. And throwing interceptions. What are you looking at out there?
I know. Lynn, we appreciate the call, my man. Got a lot more to get to. Appreciate you getting your thoughts in here on the program. 334-321-1390. We'll keep it rolling. Andy, you're up, man. What's up?
Hey, where we go, guys? Listen, y'all heard me last Monday. I broke. You know, I broke as an Auburn fan. I couldn't even talk right. I was so frustrated and disappointed because I saw the writing in the wall, all y'all do, but I just decided to, like, look over it and study it. And, you know, our recruiting's good. Our coach, you know, again, he's not winning these games, so he's nothing amazing. He's not a great game decider and maker and planner. But I was just tired of every Saturday getting ruined. I mean, I being a military vet, you know, we go through depression classes and stuff like that. And I see y'all out there. I hear y'all. I read y'all. and you guys are so upset and so depressed, and I hear you. But I just finally said stop after that game. We should have won the Oklahoma game, but it didn't even faze me.
So, and I do not mean this in a bad way at all. You've given up on this team, right? I mean, you're just kind of done.
Well, I'm not done. I just have a different outlook. I just read the writing on the wall, and I'm like,
sure,
going back to old school Auburn fan, where you just go out and have fun, and you know, you always get that win, like, oh, I can't, you know, they come into town, like, oh, y'all going to beat us, and then we beat them, you know. But it's just silly to have our expectations high at this point, right? There's no reason we should have lost that Oklahoma game. I'm watching our five-star receiver dropping balls. I'm watching Alabama's five-star receiver, 17 years old, looks like he could go in the NFL next year. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to, I mean, it always upset me when you guys would talk about these recruits coming in, and I'd kind of call, and I didn't want to be Debbie Downer. I'm just Andy Realistic. I'm like, it stinks these days that we get so excited about these people coming in, but then we get so heartbroken when they leave us, you know?
It's exhausting.
And I know it's y'all's job, and y'all got to talk about this stuff. But as the fans' perspective, I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to fire the coach? Heck no. We already talked about that. That's going to set us back even further.
Right.
So I'm just calling in. If anyone's listening, I know it's a lot easier said than done, because I was sad Saturday, but I was telling everyone, like, hey, let's not let this ruin our Saturday. Let's have fun. This is, you know, we cannot let these, you know, young men who are getting paid money determine our happiness again. I mean,
well,
this is going to be too much.
Right.
Life's too short, and I'm just getting sick of it. So again, I'm not giving up and hating on Auburn. I'm just like, what can we do?
Yeah.
Nothing really. We can call and cry, and it's fine. It's good to get it out. But again, let's not talking about firing the coach. Let's not talking about this silly stuff. As you said, the game has mutated. Hasn't changed. It's transformed and mutated, and we just got to roll with it and just be patient and be a family and be family and hug when we lose and, you know, cry when we win. Yep. We're damn eagle.
Appreciate it, Andy. 334-321-1390. And look, everybody has their right to feel the way they want to feel. And the reason I asked it the way I did was I don't think Andy's alone. There are Pitt fans that have said, to heck with this. Like, I'm tired of being, and that's where it comes from, I think. Right, T-Bone, is fans are tired of it. They're tired of seeing the same story over and over and over again. Tired of watching the same DVD, or even back in the day where you had to rewind the VCR, right? Put the tape back in the thing. And we're tired of watching it over and over again and getting the same result. You've got fans like Andy who have said, to hell with this. Not going to impact me. I'm not going to get hyped up about you anymore. I'm not going to get excited about Auburn football anymore until you prove to me, right? Until you prove to me that you can change, I'm not going to let you impact me. It's like a bad relationship. That's exactly what it is. It's a bad relationship. And until they find a way to figure their stuff out, right? If your significant other or a person you're trying to be with and you want to be with them long term, but they've got some problems, right? They got some serious problems, some reoccurring problems. And you say, you know what? Until you figure it out, I'm going to let you go. And I'm going to let you do your thing. I'll keep up with you. I'll see you on social media. I'll see you around town. But until you get your stuff figured out, I'm not going to stress about you. I'm not going to worry about you. I'm not going to let you and your problems impact me. Is that the right way to think? That's up for everybody in their interpretation. But more and more fans are going to be like, Andy, you watch, which
oh
is
my
sad.
Gosh. Yeah, to start drinking copium flavored Kool-Aid by the gallons. I mean, they better get something more positive going than being able to come out and say, well, we're making a lot of plays on offense. Offense looks better. I mean, you know, they're going to have to get some W's here real soon, or come November 2nd when Vanderbilt comes to town, there will only be 60,000 people in that stadium.
Well, that's the thing, too, is the opposite of Andy, the opposite of the fans like him, are the ones that are going ballistic on this Monday. Folks like you and me who are out here, and they're not going
to
put up
listen,
with it.
Listen, I'm sorry. Today's not about the fans, and I don't want to talk about that any longer. Fans have every right in the world to be upset right now, and let people at Auburn hear it and know it that we're frustrated and we're tired of it. That's all there is to it. That's all I'm going to say about it. It's not the fans' fault what happened. Fans have supported Auburn for years now through years of mediocrity, and we're sick and tired of it.
It's the game that needs to be broken down. It's the game.
That's what needs to happen, and it starts on those sidelines this past Saturday, and that is a fact.
Let's get to some of these texts that we've gotten in our On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Person says, Auburn football, they're losers. No other way to put it. We have yet to be beat in a game. Auburn has lost every game that is in the yell column. It is a culture problem.
Yeah, this guy's got a solution for it. Listen to this, Jacob.
Oh, gosh.
Symptomatic of a losing team. Sorry, Doc, I had a little.
That's from The Natural. That's the guy. That's a sports psychologist. Symptomatic of a losing team, making loser choices in critical situations.
Here's another one. It says, not going to make a wretched bowl. When you were talking about bowl games, says, not going to make a wretched bowl. It's 3-9, maybe 4-8. You've been going crazy today, Uncle T-Bone, which is true.
I went crazy.
Which is true.
Saturday after. Heck, I went crazy in 1982 when I started cheering for Auburn.
This person texted in.
Craziest choice ever made in my life.
I'm telling you what. This person says, as an Alabama fan, I'll say this. I think Freeze is a good recruiter, but I don't think he is a very good coach. Had talent at Ole Miss to beat Bama, but never could win the West. Not a good game day coach.
Here's the deal about Alabama fans right now, and this is one of the few times in my life I've ever experienced this. I know several Alabama fans very well. They call me. They check up on me. They know how passionate I am about Auburn, just as passionate as they are about Alabama. And you know, deep down, no matter what, we're friends and family. And they're like, they're not calling me to rub it in. They're not calling at me to cackle and point and giggle. And they're calling and basically saying things like, man, I feel sorry for y'all right now. We're such an afterthought to them. What happened Saturday night in Tuscaloosa? You know, with them in Georgia, and maybe we'll get some time for that thoughts later, and what was a heck of a football game. Those programs are so far ahead of us. They're not even worried about us beating them. They're worried about our mental health.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
And that is pathetic.
I have the same situation. I mean, half my family's Alabama fans. I have tons of friends that went there and cheer for them. And you're right. It's no more taunting and teasing and bickering at each other. It's just... you get texts, it's like, man, that was tough. That was brutal. That was tough to watch. You doing okay? Question mark. Like, it's that's where we are right now. And if that, and what you said is spot on. Auburn is an afterthought to everybody on their schedule. Nobody's worried about Auburn. Nobody's scared of Auburn. Nobody's scared of the logo or the colors or the brand. Nobody is.
This brand's been tarnished.
Been tarnished bad. And I want to get to this person's text again. This is from an Alabama fan who says, Freeze is a good recruiter, but dating back to his Ole Miss days, he's not a good game day coach. What that means to me is you can do all the preparation, you can do all the coaching, you can do all the recruiting that you want to, but when game day comes around, it takes a special human being to be able to call up a good game for 3 hours and win on Saturday based off of what the other team does to you too. I don't care how good your script is. I don't care how good your quarterback is in practice. I don't care that your play scored 10 times out of 10 when the defense wasn't on the field on a Thursday afternoon. You've got to be able to do something on Saturday when the game matters. And if you play that schedule 5 more times, guess what? You probably go 4-1 or 5-0. But the fact of the matter is you're 2-3. And I have yet to see it in action in a year and a half of Hugh Freeze at Auburn. To get to this guy's point, he makes a fantastic point. Tell me a situation in a year and a half that you've sat back and said, man, that was a good call. That was a good game plan. That was a well-coached game by Hugh Freeze. What a great game that was. Auburn came in, not only had a plan, they executed it, and they were able to adjust based off what the other team did. God forbid we do that. I've yet to have that moment. Year and a half, what game can you tell me you sat back and said, that was a greatly coached game by Auburn and Hugh Freeze?
Over the last 10 years, if my math is correct, Auburn is 3-21 against Alabama and Georgia, including an extra special kick to where the sun don't shine. You know where, Auburn fans, SEC championship debacle in 17 against Georgia, as your head coach held you hostage for a new contract because he won a couple of games, two of those three, a matter of fact, in one season, and we let him do it. That kind of thing is our fault, Auburn fans. That should have never been allowed to happen. Ever. Anyway, and we've been going downhill, and tragically, very quickly, ever since. In the last 4 years, you have to go back to 2020, excuse me, 19, Jacob, to where you have more than six wins in a year. What are we doing? You know, we don't have an identity any longer as an Auburn football program. No matter what, you know what Auburn's football program identity was forever? Run the ball and play defense. Had we had that identity Saturday, this conversation for the next 2 hours and the one after us with Bill and Dan would be so much different. We lost our identity, and we let, as Auburn fans, them do that to us. That is where I blame us, and that's got to stop. Shower them with your complaints.
We're about to get to break, and as we do, Jabba has turned around for the Braves. Good news there. They were up 3-0. They gave up six runs in the eighth inning. They have since turned around, loaded the bases. Ozzie Albies stands up and hits a bases-clearing double. Braves are up 7-6, bottom of the eighth, over in Atlanta. Updates from that when we get back, plus wrapping up hour number one. Lots and lots and lots more to get to, from phone calls to text to our reactions, breaking down the game even more. Auburn falls to 2-3 after they blow it against Oklahoma. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. As I mentioned, going to break, the Braves are doing it in Braves style, in Braves fashion. They're in a doubleheader today with the New York Mets. All they have to do is win one, and they're into the playoffs. They're into the postseason. They were up 3-0. They give up six runs in the top of the eighth, but the Braves respond with four runs in the bottom of the eighth. They're back up 7-6 heading to the ninth frame. We will keep you updated here on ESPN Radio. Got a couple of minutes before we get to hour number two. Uncle T-Bone, think this is a perfect time for reactions around other games in college football this Saturday. We'll maybe have some time in hour two, but for now, we got about 5 minutes, and you got to talk about the classic that happened inside of Brian Denny and Nick Saban Field. Alabama beats Georgia in such a weird way that nobody predicted it would come down like that and play out the way that it did, right? Bama jumping on top 28-0. Georgia looked dead in the water. Carson Beck's eyes were bigger than I've ever seen them, and they turned it on. They figured out a way, and it ended up being a really, really fun football game.
Well, quick thoughts on that game. The first half, I looked like a simple genius. I told y'all Alabama would kill them and run them out of Bryant Denny, and they were just about to do it. But I'll say this, and this is with the utmost compliment. Don't take it the wrong way, Alabama fans. The Tide for years have just been brilliantly simplistic. When they get in trouble, they go to the offense, and they look to go to their number one jammer, their playmaker, no matter what, somehow, some way, because playmakers make plays. And I'm not talking about Jalen Milroe. I'm talking about Ryan Hollywood Williams. And he's a straight-up baller and playmaker. And they knew they had to have something. And that's against a very good Georgia team. And they just threw it up there. Unlike Auburn, when they were ready to put the game away, instead of going to their number one jammer and playmaker, Jarquez Hunter, we try and outsmart ourselves. They just keep it simple, stupid. And that's why they continue to win football games. I'll say another thing about that. Kirby Smart, you said it. And Glenn Schumann, they figured something out and made some adjustments at halftime to that offense. Kalen DeBoer kind of tells me he's a systems guy.
Alabama.
And so, yeah. You know, when you know, that he didn't have –
they didn't do anything in the second half.
No.
Not a thing. Georgia shut them down.
They just hucked it up there to their playmaker to win the game. And
made a great play.
My hat's off to them. But once they kind of figured out that system, and now I think you're going to see a lot of film, will you be able to stop them talent-wise, most teams? No. But teams with talent, they can stuff that stuff, and Georgia did it in the second half. And hats off to them, too, because they could have laid down and died, and they showed championship grit and character.
Kirby Smart didn't let them. Didn't let them. And he continued to console and talk through and conversate with Carson Beck time and time again after the – probably played the worst half of football he's ever played in his entire career.
Well, he didn't chew him out. I noticed that.
But you know what he did? He coached him.
That's right.
He coached him, and he taught him, and he said, hey, let's do this. Let's figure out this. And then Georgia found a way and fought all the way back, took a lead. Yes, they gave it up on the next play. But how many teams in the country could have done that? How many teams could you place right now on any given Saturday down 28-0 in the first 18 minutes of the game and said, okay, come back and take a lead inside of Bryant-Denny Stadium? No shot.
Maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers. Georgia, speaking of which, a 23.5-point favorite so far, opening line. With the Tigers coming to town and the Deep South's oldest rivalry, that is not enough points at the moment.
Can I say this? As crazy as it sounds, and I know Alabama won the game. What?
Don't say what you're about to
say.
No,
you know, you don't know what I'm about to say. Go ahead, predict. What do you think I'm going
to
say?
You're about to say Georgia's the better team.
Yeah, I am. Georgia is the better football team. I believe it. After watching the game,
I don't believe that.
Georgia is the better football team, better than Alabama. I still believe it.
I think that there's a handful of teams out there right now that are all about the same, including Texas, and on any given Saturday, according to where they play to, someone they could beat one another. I'll have to look at that when there's a little bit more data by the end of the season. I said it all week, speaking of other games, Jacob, that I kind of liked Ole Miss the whole week. Then I woke up on game day on Wings, and I was like, something just doesn't feel right here. And really liked those points in Kentucky. Hey, Lane Kiffin. Maybe you should worry about your own program, dummy, instead of Auburn. Okay? That just proves again how childish, immature, and silly he is and why he didn't get the job here.
Yeah, I did not have that one predicted at all. Not at all. Just another update for you in Atlanta. Francisco Lindor steps up. He hit a 2-run bomb. Top of the 9th inning. Mets on top 8-7. In Atlanta.
Just Atlanta. Be in Atlanta.
Jabba strikes again. Can the Braves come back? We'll have updates for you in hour number two. More college football talk. And yes, more Auburn, Oklahoma talk. More text, more calls. All that coming up in hour number two.
Production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Alongside me is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of hour number one, be sure to definitely go back and catch it with the podcast. You do not want to miss out on that. T-Bone was yelling, and I mean yelling. The microphone broke. We replaced it. He's good. We're back. All of that was in hour number one. Lots of reactions, lots of texts, lots of phone calls from Auburn and Oklahoma in the debacle that it was in Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday night. And that's going to be a lot of hour number two as well. We're about to get to the phone lines. We have more text that we need to read. And so all of that was in hour number one. Be sure you go back and catch it with the podcast. You can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Before we get into content, though, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you, and you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. We appreciate them bringing you the second hour of our show from 3 to 4 each and every day here on ESPN Radio. Before we get to the text box and the phone lines, want to let you in on some information. First of all, no Jacob Hillman today from the Auburn Sports Network, so the second hour wide open for you and us. We're going to continue diving into Auburn and Oklahoma. Update from Atlanta for those of you that are interested. Mets on top 8-7, bottom of the ninth. Braves down to their final two outs in game one of the doubleheader. A reminder that the Braves have to win one of these games today if they want to make the playoffs. So trying to do that, they were up 3-0 going into the eighth inning. They gave up six. They then bounced back with four, and then they gave up two in the ninth. Been a crazy game over there in Atlanta. So that's an update on that. Let's get to the phone lines. As Terry, you're on the line, my man. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, guys. How's it going?
Doing okay.
I hate to be the one to say I told you so, but I told you so.
How so?
Captain Turnover did it again. All kidding aside, guys, I'm with T-Bone on this. This is all Hugh Freeze here. And Jacob, you know this as well as I do. I mean, Hugh Freeze got from the get-go.
Yep.
This was all on him. But instead of getting cute down there on the goal line and putting Sam Jackson walking, why not line up big old 240-pound Sean Jackson? First of all, Oklahoma's not expecting it. Number two, it's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, I don't understand the cuteness aspect of it's almost like we're just going to do everything that you shouldn't do, completely outsmarting ourselves in critical moments. Like I said, there were four of them. The goal line with Sam Jackson scenario, the complete bongling of the end of the first half with timeouts and play calling, that was atrocious. And the fire drill that followed with trying to get Towns Magoo out there, a struggling kicker in a critical moment.
What
to
a
make
disaster.
A kick. That was a disaster. The first down. The first down.
Alex McPherson, because I hate to tell Towns Magoo, I'm proud of the kid. I like the kid. He's smart, but he's not as good as Alex McPherson. Sorry, he's not.
I'm not sure what the health update is. I know that he's been kicking in practice. He's been kicking in warm-ups. He's just not ready yet.
I just don't think he's ready and up to speed.
And I want to comment on that, though, because what T-Bone was saying, it feels so many times that Auburn and Hugh Freeze and this offensive staff are trying to outsmart the other team. They're trying to outsmart and out-scheme and, oh, we're going to catch them on this. We're going to get them on this. We've been practicing this for weeks. Rather than lining up Terry and running something, any play, run, pass, RPO, whatever the case may be, lining up and executing a play based off what the defense is showing you or what the momentum of the ball game has given you, Auburn seems to avoid doing that and is too busy on trying to outsmart their opponent.
I agree 100%. 100%. Why do you have a 240-pound running back on scholarship if you're not going to give him the ball? Why do you put him on kickoffs? To block? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the other two moments.
I want to encourage y'all to do something. Go back and listen to the interview post-game. I don't know if it's Brad Law or Jeff Scherer. I'm not sure which one did it with Keldrick Falk. That was a kid that sounded whipped. Now, it was right after a defeat, a crushing loss. But it has got the sound of a guy that letting things cross through his mind that Hugh Freeze is dangerously close to losing this football team. And you're going to see a mass exodus in the offseason.
Well, I'm going to go ahead. Thanks for the call, Terry. We really appreciate
it. Thanks, Terry.
I'm going to say this. I would not be shocked at all if that post-game locker room was on fire, and specifically with defensive people that play for Auburn having about enough of the offense continuing to let them down.
It'd be tough not to.
I'm not spreading rumors here because I don't know, but just human nature.
Yeah.
How in the world can you just sit there and be like, yeah, y'all got us, we good? You can't. You can't. This defense has laid it on. They had two critical mistakes in this game. That's about par for the course and as good as you're going to do against a decent football team in today's college football world.
And let's be real, that quarterback was going to get his in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not just go off and have Johnny Manziel numbers, but
sure.
With the type of player that he was, or I guess I should say the type of player that he is, he was going to have a play or two. And Hugh Freeze admitted that today. He did. He said he was going to have a play or two like that. The initial run on the very first drive of the game where he broke up the middle and scored a touchdown. Yes, it sucked.
And then you made an adjustment.
But you adjusted, and you stopped him. And he didn't do hardly anything. He played like a freshman, folks. He played like a freshman quarterback on the road with all five of his receivers standing or sitting or not even traveling because they were injured, right? Nobody played for him. And yet, he made a great throw in the fourth quarter that he had an opportunity because Auburn's poor play calling offensively.
That's right. He should have never been on the field at that time.
But two plays should not beat you. Two plays
right.
Should not be good enough for a team to win a football game. But yet, here we are again. And Auburn gets beat because they beat themselves. You let another freshman quarterback who did not have a Heisman-type performance, which we've seen in the past, but you let him come in here, made a heck of a play on the two-point conversion where he went flying through the end zone, and you let him come in here and feel good about himself and let Oklahoma get their first ever SEC win inside of your four walls.
Here are some stats, Jacob. And had I told you these would have been the stats before the game, we just say one by one, do you think Auburn would have won? Total yards, Tigers, 482. Sooners, 291.
Should have won by 20.
First downs, Tigers, 26. OU, 11.
Should have won by 20.
Time of possession, Tigers, 35 minutes. 26 seconds. Sooners, 24 minutes, 34 seconds.
Should have won by 20.
Penalties, Auburn 7, Sooners 10.
Eh, fine. Should have won.
What are we doing? These coaches mishandled this team in critical moments. Just three or four of them that cost us the football game. That's just all there is to it. And I think there's a lot of players out there, like Terry was saying, Keldrick Falk, that know it. And that is getting to the point where eventually, if that keeps going, they will lose the team, and then they will lose the job.
And that's just reality. That's not inside information. That is not that's assumption. That's just a fact. Look at sports, man. Human nature will only allow you to compete so long in a losing effort, right? And update. Live in Atlanta, the Mets win 8-7, so they've clinched the fifth wild card, and the Braves have to win game two if they want to play in the playoffs, so that's exciting.
They're done.
Jabba. Yeah, I mean, you're really at that point right now because you're at that point with the fans, with the players, with the coaches, hopefully not, but probably, and with those in the administration, because let's put ourselves in the shoes of John Cohen for a second. You sit in your office this morning and you just drink your cup of coffee and you start to ponder the state of this football program and where it could be heading, where all signs are pointing to right now. 2-3, then 2-4, then 2-5, possibly 2-6, possibly 2-7, possibly 2-8, maybe 3-8, and then 3-9. What have we seen that tells us otherwise that Auburn's going to be better than 3-9 this season? And I have more to say, but just stick with me here. So if you're John Cohen and you're sitting in your office this morning drinking a cup of coffee and you're thinking, man, we can't have another 3-9 season. At what point, after continued suffering and continued stress and continued depression carried over from multiple different coaching staffs, at what point will the fans truly quit? When will they quit donating? When will they quit showing up? When will the players quit? When will they leave? When will the recruits say, to heck with this, I don't want to be a part of that? You're flirting with that line, which is crazy to say 5 weeks into a second year under a new head coach, but it's the way that you're losing. Oklahoma didn't come in here and play four good quarters of football and they just happened to beat Auburn on a Hail Mary. That didn't happen. Auburn didn't miss a 55-yarder at the buzzer to lose. That would have been okay. Because I think Auburn, and to get back to the game in particular, Auburn played good enough to win. That's the hill that I'm going to die on today, is Auburn played well enough to win. And I believe that the team got better. I think the team improved. Especially from a week ago, Hugh Freeze talked about getting off the field on third down defensively. I think you highlight that. I think you highlight the lack of turnovers. Yes, the one that you had was big, but Auburn got better in that aspect. And this team played hard, man. And to lose a game like that is demoralizing for everybody involved. But to lose the way you did, the way you have for your three losses this season, it's deflating, and it's so hard for guys to get back up and compete, and you hope that they can because that's the stage that they're on, right? You're playing Power 4, D1, SEC college football. You hope that they can get back up and respond to this because it's a long season, man. It's a really long season.
I mean, this team could use a bye week right now.
Desperately, and their bye week's going to be later than most,
now
unfortunately.
They got to go up perhaps against one of the – I mean, definitely one of the best teams in college football, a team that has absolutely dominated them going back all the way to 2005, really. I don't even want to dig into the numbers. It's that bad. But I can only think of maybe three times Auburn's beaten Georgia since 2005. Since after that miracle win in Athens, Auburn has beaten Georgia three times in seven. Is it, how many years is that? 18 years? They're going to be out for blood. And what happens, man, and I'm serious, Jacob, because we played a little what-if scenario.
Sure.
Saturday, best case, worst case scenario going into the Oklahoma game for the Auburn Tigers the rest of this football season. In my worst case scenario, and pretty much Jack's as well on game down wings, was we bungle the game up that we could win against Oklahoma like we've done in the past and then go over there and just get, I'm talking about master blasted. I'm talking about two men in or one man leave. You ain't leaving this Thunderdome.
You're saying that's right now?
Yeah. What if that goes down in Georgia next weekend? What if Saturday if Georgia rolls up and beats us like 48-7?
Unfortunately, in terms of the fans, I don't know what that does, because as of right now, and there's a long,
I mean,
lot of
is it unrealistic to ask that, to say that, though?
No, I guess not. I mean, you're a 24-point underdog. If Georgia goes in and beats you by 24, 30 points, like that's, on the national scale, that's the expectation. What Auburn fans are going to hope for, because this is how fans work and this is how you should work, is you're hopeful that you can carry over a lot from this game against Oklahoma minus the loss and go in and compete with a team like Georgia.
And we're going to learn from it. I'm so tired. Haven't we learned enough? Haven't this coaching staff been around long enough to not really have to learn stuff anymore? Like big stuff, like run the ball and run the clock out and win the game.
Well, you said earlier this team that Auburn put on the field Saturday, they were more talented than Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
A depleted Oklahoma team.
It was depleted.
But Auburn was a talented, more talented team. Not in every spot, not in every aspect.
I'd rather have our roster this past Saturday than the roster that showed up in Jordan Hare with Oklahoma. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I get a text.
Absolutely.
I get a text from Tommy in Auburn. If you run a search on every FBS game in the last five seasons with the following 25 qualifiers, more than 25 first downs and less than the opposition having 12 first downs with a maximum of one turnover, the teams like Auburn was this Saturday are 157-3, a 98%. There's your number.
There's the 98%.
There's your number, winning percentage. Only Michigan State to Indiana, Kansas State to Iowa State, and now Auburn to Oklahoma. Jabba!
I got a text, too, when we were talking about when does it break? When does the dam finally go and everybody kind of gives in and gives up? And got a question that goes on the flip side, and I'm glad we got this. It says, or when will everyone do more, commit more, push more, be stronger and more committed? I think that that can still happen. That possibility's still out there. I don't want to be just all doom and gloom on a Monday. I don't. Because I believe that that can still happen. But there's got to be some breakthrough, a positive breakthrough, right? We're flirting with a negative breakthrough right now. But I think everybody's got to have that positive breakthrough. Because in life, you want to see results, man. There are a certain group of people that are willing and capable to work and work and work and wait for the results. And that's what coaches are preaching right now, is waiting and patience and things like that. And I totally get it. But as a human, right, as human nature, you want to see some progress or some result, or at least a sign that you're getting in the right, you're going in the right direction. And I think if you break down the Auburn-Oklahoma game, the way you can find that little glimpse of hope is the fact that Auburn played winning football Saturday. The players played winning football. Bad decisions put them in a bad spot, and they made bad decisions, and ultimately you lose the football game. But I truly believe, and I thought this when I walked out of the press conference today when Hugh Freeze got done speaking, I felt okay, which most people don't, and that's fine today. But I felt okay, because the way he talked, the way he broke it down, he said five or six plays I regret. Hindsight, yes, is 20/20, but I regret doing the things that I did on these specific plays, and here's why. Does it stink that it's Monday morning and we're having to figure that out? Yeah, it does. Monday morning quarterback, whatever you want to call it.
I'm sick of regret.
But it's, and I am too. And Auburn fans are too. So at what point do you figure it out in the moment? Do you break through positively in the moment? Because one or the other is going to happen. Either something good's going to happen and keep everybody around and you can build off of it, or nothing's going to happen, the negatives are going to happen, and everything's going to fall. Everything you've tried to build, the progress you've made in every aspect of this program is going to fall crashing to the earth. Is that dramatic? Maybe.
That's just
Auburn. Is it reality? Could be.
That's just Jabba.
And Auburn's got to find a way right now to do that. And Saturday, that's what's so disappointing. We're about to get to break. That's what's so disappointing is Saturday could have been that day. Saturday almost was that day. Auburn was up 21-10 with 10 minutes to go. Saturday was that day. And yet it fell through, and Auburn lost it again. Let's get to a break. Our first one here in hour number two. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Lots of you hitting us up in the on-the-line text box. That number, 334-784-1067. More conversations like this, talking Auburn, Oklahoma, other games around college football. That's coming up next here on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Reminder, no Jacob Hillman today. We will pick back up with him next week. So plenty of time for you to get in on the phone lines or in our On the Line text box, which seems to have not stopped today. Just tons and tons of text. Got a question about Deuce Knight, more of a comment, I guess. We'll keep it to the text box. But talking about Deuce Knight, the quarterback recruit who was in Auburn again this weekend, and look, Hugh Freeze has said over and over again, he said it again today in his presser, which I do want to get to in a second, said that this has been even more of a selling point where Auburn played how many freshmen on Saturday. Hugh Freeze had a number this morning where he said, this is our selling point, come in, make an immediate impact, and we're going to play you early, we're going to play you right now. And To look at Perry Thompson. Yeah, which he admitted, he said, yeah, we got to get him in more games. He had a great week of practice.
Well, then get him on the field.
I'm not understanding that. I don't. And look, shout out to our boy Malcolm Simmons, though. That's my guy. And Malcolm had a great day. Malcolm had a really, really good day. Cam Coleman bounced back and had a good day after a couple of early scares, right, with drops again. But he figured it out and got it going. And I think if you look at it, offensively for Auburn, they moved the football again Saturday, right? They moved the ball again on Saturday and didn't have a turnover until crunch time where, again, they were put in a bad spot. And overall, Auburn ran the ball well. They threw the ball well. Peyton Thorne made decisions well. Like, this was a well-executed offense on Saturday for Auburn. Defense balled out, did exactly what they were supposed to do. We mentioned the explosive plays a couple of times, but I go back to it. You played well enough to win, and that's what's so deflating here. So overall, in terms of a recruiting pitch, I guess, I mean, yeah, you can come in here and start if you want. You're going to have a great chance to play if you show up.
They ain't going out there and getting some quarterback to start as a freshman. So we can have like two more years of learning something. I mean, come on, man. They're going to have to go out there and load for bear on not one, but two transfer quarterbacks in the NIL and see who wants it and who can make it happen. The fact of the matter is Peyton Thorne did enough for us to win Saturday.
Played one of his better games of his career.
One pass, which should never have been a pass, or at least should have at least been a more disguised RPO instead of having five wide with nobody in the backfield. That just says to Uncle T-Bone, I've got a 50-50 shot at one of two plays. A, he's going to throw the ball somewhere, which on third and fourth probably isn't deep. So I'm going to load up the zone in short. Or B, he's going to run a QB draw. And you know what? Oklahoma flipped the coin. They played a little game of Monopoly to see where we would land, and they picked right. and he threw into not just triple coverage. There were like four Sooners over there. But don't put him in that position. Run the ball, Hugh. Had you run the ball 3 to 4 minutes earlier on one drive, the game is over. And we win by double digits. So, whatever, man. Yeah, you just keep doing you, buddy. That's going to work, man. That's going to work when you get Joe Montana in here out of the transfer portal. Okay.
334-321-1390. Mike, you're on the line. You got about a minute, my guy.
How's it going, guys?
Going okay, man.
Hey, I was at the game Saturday, me and my son. He didn't do nothing to cost me but $1,100 to the man.
Mm. Woo.
Auburn should have won that football game, and I thought that when Freeze got rid of the last offense coordinator, he was going to start doing all the play calling.
Who knows who's calling plays?
But he said he is.
I think he's got most of his hand is in it. Yeah, I think Nix does a lot of game planning, and Freeze, when he wants to run something, he runs it.
Who's talking to
me all the time? Who I'm pulling for? I'm pulling for whoever my checking accounts.
I don't blame you for that. You're pulling for Team Green.
Yeah. And they should have won that football game. They gave that football game away. And I said to you, I was sick of my stomach.
I bet you are. $1,100 sicker.
Well, anyhow, I hope y'all have a great day. And it ain't going to get no better against Georgia either.
I'm afraid you're right, Mike. Mm. Thank you for the call. Jacob, I have a question.
Yeah.
Not necessarily who's calling the plays, because, you know, I'm not going to just go beat that dead horse like Auburn fans did for years. Was it Rhett? Was it Gus? Was it the Morris guy? Was it Chip Lindsey? Who cares who's calling the plays, really? Who's talking to Peyton Thorne in the microphone, in the helmet mic, is what I want to know. Because whoever it was, when they got down there up 11 on the OU 33, should have been going, hurry up to the line, get up there, and get an X run 35. Hand the ball off no matter what. Wait till we get down to 2 seconds. Do not substitute. Do not let them substitute. Got it? Say yes. Got it? And then do it again and again, and it's over. I mean, it is over. And Auburn finally gets its first win over Boomer Sooner. So whoever was in that microphone failed to launch.
Which seems so easy to say right on Monday. It's easy for us to sit here and be the Monday quarterback, but this was being said in the moment on Saturday.
Well, I'm not being paid $4 million, $5 million to be behind this microphone. You know? So that's you're going to get all the criticism in the world. Of course, it's 2020. I hope that's what was said. And if that's not what was said, then that's on the coaches, not on Peyton Thorne.
We got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Phone lines continue to be open, 334-321-1390. We continue on after this.
On the Line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes in what has been a fast-moving Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goertz. No Jacob Hillman today. We'll pick back up with him next week, which means we can get to the phone lines some more, 334-321-1390. And James, you're on the line. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got two comments. The guy made the comment on air a minute ago that hindsight's 2020, talking about the when we got the ball back with up two scores, mm-hmm. not to run the ball. But that's not even a hindsight issue. Everybody in the country knew don't pass the ball. That just gave them two
You're
three
right.
timeouts.
You're right.
Everybody knew that should have been run. Didn't even matter if you got the first down. We didn't need points. We needed the clock to run. And so that's just not even
real quick, James. You're exactly right. It didn't just cost us two timeouts. It cost us three, because I think Oklahoma would have burned a timeout because we were gashing them so bad.
They would have.
And you gave them two free timeouts.
The other thing that kind of drives me a little bit wacko is this deal when we have fourth down and one, and for some reason we want to hike the ball 5 yards back and hand it off to get a yard. Finally, in the second down, we had second half, we had fourth and one, and we did a quarterback sneak.
Yeah. Which I loved that play. That was a great play, by the way.
The tush push.
It's a great play. You should be able to tell the other team what you're going to do and still get a yard. I mean, I don't know why we and a lot of teams want to hike the ball back 4 or 5 yards. If you're going to go for fourth down, just get up to the line and go for fourth down. And if you don't get it doing that, so be it. So be it.
I'll tell you why, James, because we've lost our identity.
Yeah.
And this has gone back to when this was going back to all the way years ago. And I don't want to just blame it on college football, but, you know, we just won't get under center and run the ball and play physical football and play defense anymore. We got to try and run this RPO crap that just won't get you a yard when you have to have it.
You should be able to tell the other team that you're going to do a quarterback sneak. You know the snap count. They don't. You should be able to get a yard. And if you don't get it, so be it. You just don't get it. But to hike it back 4 or 5 yards and then run wide and give them a chance to come up and tackle you, I just don't understand that. But, it seems like Hugh Freeze is owning up to some of this stuff finally. And so maybe that's a positive thing. Maybe we're going to see some changes being made and some better decision-making. But if you think about it, we lost the Alabama game last year to bad decisions by the coaching.
We lost
the Arkansas game, bad decisions. We lost this last game, bad decisions. You can go back, and it's not just one or two or three games. It's 4 or 5 games in the last 2 years that we have lost because of bad decisions by coaches. And they've got to clean this up. They have to make good decisions so the players have a chance to perform like they're supposed to perform.
Yeah.
And so, but he is owning a lot of this stuff. So maybe we're fixing to see some things change. I sure hope so, because it's very discouraging to watch what we're watching right now.
Yep.
But anyway, y'all have a good day, War Eagle. Hopefully, we'll show up Saturday and at least play a good game.
There you go. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you listening and calling in. 334-321-1390. And him bringing that up at the end gets me into a conversation that I wanted to have today. One that you and I were discussing before we came on the air with this type of a loss, right? Take the California loss out of it, where Auburn just couldn't get out of their own way, turned it over a billion times, and California was ready to play and you weren't, right? That loss, you can write it down, you can chalk it up, turnovers, bad execution, all right? Move on. Arkansas was a combination of both. I think of turnovers and bad decision-making. Saturday against Oklahoma was just pure bad coaching at the end.
Right.
In the end, because I think the rest of the game wasn't all that crazy. I don't think it was all that bad. You got beat a couple times on defense, which we got a text about that earlier that said, you know, looks like the secondary got beat. He did. It was a one-on-one. It was a one-on-one play down the sideline where Kay and Lee got beat. Safety wasn't there to help, and it was a huge play for Oklahoma down the sideline. They scored a few plays later. And the other big scoring play was the quarterback run up the middle where he just scrambled on third down and got a touchdown out of it. Okay, you live to see another day. But everything else, the reason you lost was coaching and bad decision-making. But here's the point that I want to make and a conversation I want to open up here. In today's world of college football, in today's world of college athletics, you can take it beyond the football field, in my belief. How many times have we talked about on this very program how teams across the board are better than they've ever been?
That's right.
Day in and day out. Teams are better than they've ever been. Teams can beat anybody on any given day more than they've ever been able to in the history of college football in particular.
Look at how much better Vanderbilt is.
Vanderbilt is a legitimate team right now. And for that reason, for teams like Vanderbilt or Northern Illinois or Miami of Ohio or whatever team you want to pick, those teams that have all gotten better seemingly overnight, gone are the days for a team like Auburn in the state that you're in to just roll out a talented team and win based off of talent. It means more nowadays than ever before to have a good, legitimate, smart head coach. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular here. Hugh Freeze has been a big focal point of the conversation today, but I'm not talking about him in particular. This is college football as a whole. Now more than ever, you have to have good coaching because other teams have dudes too. Other teams have good players too. Other teams have guys that are going to make plays too. You cannot afford, and this is talking about Auburn, you cannot afford with where you are as a program to lose games off of bad decisions and bad coaching. Because when you do, when you make those bad calls, other teams are good enough to beat you. You cannot afford for one factor that's in your control to get you beat. And that is bad decisions and bad coaching. You cannot afford, now more than ever before in the history of college football, to have bad coaching, because that will be exposed. And it did on Saturday.
Very well said. I mean, this whole narrative that, you know, you're just going to recruit your way out of misery at Auburn. I got news for everybody. This isn't 1986 anymore, folks. You can't just go out there and stack up recruiting classes after recruiting classes after recruiting classes and expect for someone not to expose you if you have flaws as a head coach. Now, you got to have the talent. I'm not saying that. Recruiting is still very important. I'd like to say that if you're in the top 20 every year in recruiting in high school, you should expect to be in the top 20 on average every year. But that's not the case, because Auburn has been averaged out in the top 20 or top 25 for the last 5 years, and we haven't had more than 6 wins since 2019. You got to be able to have tremendous football acumen, situational awareness, be a heck of a good coach and motivator, be able to let stuff roll off your back like your best player saying, you know what, I'm going to LSU, he's getting paid, they're paying me more and you can't afford me any longer. You got to be able to be adaptable. You cannot be stubborn. You got to have a system that puts up points that you can modify, not just from week to week depending on opponent, but from situation to situation within a game. And quite frankly, we're just not there yet. Where is the signature win under Hugh Freeze? Where is it? Arkansas last year, a team that quit. California last year, late in the Pacific time zone night. How can anyone sit here and just say, you know what, if we get talent, we're good. It's going to be all right, after what you've seen kind of in some decision-making and critical moments against teams you already had beat, like we saw this past Saturday.
Right.
It's fair to question these coaches and their football acumen at this point. I think it's very fair.
Well, it's happening. It's happening for everybody that cheers for this team.
And it's up to them to get better and get smarter and get wiser. But they should already be there. There's a lot of coaches over there that have been coaching a long time. What happened Saturday should never happen, ever, in a football game, especially at this level. At Auburn University in the SEC, you just gave the other team a win. You just said, here, take it. We're not man enough to win right now. And that's a cold, hard truth. Auburn right now has not proven to me in 3 or 4 years, maybe 5, that they are man enough to beat a big-time opponent. And that is just straight out depressing.
They're still learning how to win these types of games. And it's such a crazy statement to say, because think of all the number of players that have come through here. You'd like to think that it would change with a recruiting class, right? That it would change with a different group of players, but it just seems to be trickling down and bleeding through the entire building. And look, I'm not a person that believes in that type of stuff. I'm not. But it's really hard to argue when someone like yourself says something like that, because we've been watching it for so long. And that's what I go back to was, man, I'm sitting in the stands. Again, I went as a fan for the first time in a long time. I took my dad to a game who hadn't been in years. And, man, we're sitting there with 8 minutes to go, and I'm thinking, this is the turning point.
Yeah,
this is the game.
Me too.
I'm thinking, man, Auburn's about to do it. Auburn's going to do the thing we said would be the most Auburn thing they could do, which was lose to Cal, lose to Arkansas, turn around and beat Oklahoma. Yes, they were depleted. I don't care. They were still a top 25 team. And I'm thinking to myself, standing there inside those walls of Jordan-Hare Stadium, Auburn's about to do it. Auburn's about to get the win they've been looking for. Things are going to change, and there's going to be some positivity around this program. But, man, we're 5 weeks into this season, and I feel we have done nothing but have the same show every Monday, Uncle T-Bone. the same show even after wins.
Yeah.
Because it's just, there's always been something. And maybe that's on us. I don't know. Maybe that's on us because we can't find all the bright sides in these conversations. But it's really, really hard when it keeps happening like this. And then all of a sudden, 8 minutes later, and that's been taken away. And we're walking out of the stadium, and it goes, well, here we go again.
It's Groundhog Day. It's
here
a
we
bad
go again.
Dream. It's like, when's it going to end?
That pick six was in slow motion, man.
It really was.
I watched him throw
it. You could just feel it coming, too, man.
Something was going to happen. And I said to my dad as we're standing there.
You could just feel it coming.
Five wide on third and three. Five wide. Why?
Five why is
yeah,
what it
five
should be
why.
Called
yeah,
in that situation.
It's just, and you're right. You could almost feel that something was going to happen. And then it did.
Here's the deal, Jacob. I've been an Auburn football fan and really an Auburn fan practically my whole life, but dead set certain since Bo went over the top in 1982 as a second grader in Auburn, and I went outside and there were grown people dancing in the streets, partying and crying all over Auburn, all into the night. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life, and I still remember it to this day, and I was a fan ever since. But they have broken me as a fan. Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times, fool me jobba times. They have pulled the wool out, the rug out from under me so many times, and I keep coming back. We get funny texts like you shared earlier. Hey, Uncle T, you still selling those In Huey Trust t-shirts. Ha, 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 ha. Joke's on you, Uncle T, again, for trusting that everything was going to be all right. Not only that, getting behind it and pumping it up. Because I'm a fan and I want to believe, and I believe in our leadership. And time and time and time and time again, we just, I don't want to even say get let down as a fan. It's like we get sabotaged. And that maybe that's just life. You know, maybe we look across the state and they're like, they always win. We should be always winning too. We all know that's not realistic. Auburn people are realistic. Just look at that creed that was written by one of the greatest Auburn men of all time, Dr. George Petrie. We know that life is full of pain and you got to keep getting up off that mat and keep getting in the fight. How much more can people expect Auburn fans and longtime Auburn fans to give when it is just a total cluster within a 2.5 minute period, and you just say to everybody, we're not winning this game when we should?
And what's disappointing, and I think what makes it sting even more, is yes, Saturday was almost that day. Saturday was almost that game where you at least showed you could, right? Auburn almost showed they could do it. And what makes it even worse, and I know it's only Monday, we don't want to look too far ahead, but it's really hard not to look at this month of October. It's really hard.
Why don't
not to
we
look.
Take a break? Sorry to cut you off, and let's look ahead to the month of October in this last segment.
Okay. I'm good with that. 334-321-1390. We will take one more break. We'll come back and wrap it up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's been a wild show today, and we figured it would be. It's a reaction Monday, and it's not even an overreaction Monday. I think it's just a reaction Monday because on this show, I don't think there are overreactions. I think that's why our motto fits so well. We tell you like it is, and we hold nothing back. I think our listeners have that motto. I think our phone callers, our texters, even our guests have that motto as well. And it's been one of those Mondays. And so if you've missed any of it, be sure to go and catch back up with the podcast. I'll have that up for you on our station website after the show today, ESPNAU.com. T-Bone, I know you're not in here until Friday again, and so for you, you do want to go ahead and look ahead to what the month of October holds, because I was saying before we went to break, that's what makes Saturday so much harder to swallow, is that was a win you needed. You needed that win. You needed that for so many reasons that we don't have time to get into right now. And look, as the week goes on, I'm going to continue with guests and Christian and other folks in here to talk about what happened this Saturday and begin to look forward to Georgia. But it's no secret, man, this month of October is brutal for Auburn.
Well, and it starts this Saturday, 2:30 on ABC again for the Tigers inside Sanford Stadium in between the hedges in the Deep South's oldest rivalry. You got to go back to 1892 when they first cranked this one up at Piedmont Park, and the Tigers got the W. Going back, Jacob, like I said, you've got to go back to 2005, 2004, the last time Auburn won back-to-back games in this series. Georgia has dominated this series since then. I am counting 7 straight wins against Auburn, and Auburn has only won 3 times against the Dogs since 2005. That is putrid. And does anybody really have faith that that's going to turn around this Saturday as a 23.5-point underdog in the decisions that we make, both at staff and players, at quarterback especially, that are just mistake after mistake after mistake that are costing us games against teams that, like, depleted Oklahoma, Arkansas, who got beat by Texas A&M, called it, and California? Does anybody really think that's just going to turn on a dime in Athens and all them Dog fans are going to be about as upset as they can possibly be after losing the now game of the century? How obnoxious is that up in Tuscaloosa Saturday night? I have no faith in it. None. And then you finally get a bye week, thanks to the SEC home office for giving us this wretched schedule. 6 games before a bye week. I think everybody else in the SEC's had a bye week but us, or will have had. I have to double check that, but I know it might be just us and Ole Miss. That's just ridiculous. And then you go to Missouri.
Top 10 team.
And a resurgent Kentucky team that can play some defense.
That just beat a top 10 team.
So October, and you might as well just go ahead and throw Vanderbilt in there because it's on November 2nd, which is your traditional Halloween weekend game in Auburn. It's going to probably be an 11 o'clock kickoff, the old Jefferson Pilot 3 Dave's time slot, a.k.a. a Bloody Mary game and a donut. There will, and if it goes bad in October with those first 3 games, I promise you there won't be 65,000 people inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Auburn fans will have given up hope. So that's the worst case scenario, but it's not an out of the realm of possibility scenario. I don't know what Auburn. I don't even want to think about Saturday yet. I'll save all those thoughts for Friday. What Auburn has to do to turn this around, but right now, after what I saw this past weekend, I just don't think there's any hope.
What's in the realm of possibility? I mean, in that month of October for you right now, since you won't be here till Friday, I'll let you get it out now. What's in the realm of possibility?
You play another great game against Georgia like you did last year. They just got too much for you. They take care of business. You go on a bye week. And you go up to Missouri and you shock them an early morning game. And it again, there is still time, if that happens, to change the trajectory of the season.
Sure.
But what I'm afraid is going to happen is that we'll get dominated Saturday. I'm talking about bad bloodbath time. And at that point, then, you go into a bye week. Why are you going to play Peyton Thorne anymore? There's no hope for you getting to a bowl game. You might as well go young, and I'm talking about the cross the board. And then that might even be the best-case scenario for this program. You take that bye week to put Perry Thompson in as a starter and to put whoever in at quarterback as a starter and to get all these young guys on defense like DeMarcus Riddick, who played one heck of a game this Saturday, as starters. And Hugh Freeze and staff just says, you know what, we're going young. Get behind us, Tiger fans. I think Tiger fans would have hope then.
But I think it shows how important this Saturday is.
I'll say this, though, Jacob. The way recent history's been for Auburn for quite some time, if it can go wrong, it's going to go wrong, and it's going to go even worse to wrong this October.
He's Uncle T-Bone. He'll be back on Friday with us here in the studio. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll talk baseball. Braves just underway against the Mets. They win, and they're in. They lose, and they're out. That's what's at stake over in Atlanta right now. We'll talk about that tomorrow, plus more college football. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.